Second Down on ESPN Radio is presented to you by The Uniform Source. Christian Gokel alongside Cody Queen here. Game 6.
Oh, my God.
Tonight.
Oh, my God.
Are you? I got a question for you, Cody. Are you still emotionally impacted by your teams? Or are you to the point now where you're just kind of dead inside from all the losses?
And you just me and you were talking the other day about, like, there's only a few teams that you're, like, emotionally into. So mine's, like, the Broncos and stuff like that. And the rest of them, I'm just, like, a fan of the leagues and stuff like that. Right now with the Broncos, after winning the Super Bowl in 5 years straight of just sucking so bad, I just, like, every time they lose, I'm like, okay, cool.
Because I'm kind of the point with the Hawks, because, like, it's such a weird thing, right? Because if we keep it in perspective, right, they were really bad at the beginning of the year. Fired their coach.
Oh, it was a weird time on the air. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, weird time. And so, like, they fire their coach. Damon Millen comes in. They make a run. Looks like they're going to make the playoffs. All of a sudden, they're a 5 seed. They come in as a 5 seed. They beat the 4 seed in really dominant fashion. And then it's like, all right, well, it was a fun year. Going up against the Sixers. Probably won't be very close. Wait, what? They're up 3-2 in the series. So it keeps the scale keeps changing. I'm afraid I'm going to get to the point where the Hawks are in, like, game 5 of the NBA Finals. And I'm like, yeah, you know, they don't. I don't know if I can believe in the Hawks. I mean, I want to buy in on this team, Cody, but also half of my brain is telling me 76ers will come out tonight, win by 20, and then it'll go home. They'll be a favorite game 7 against the Hawks. So, I mean, it's just
I'm
struggling with this one, man.
I'm still sticking with my guns, the Sixers and 7. I think they are going to win tonight, and I think it's going to go again. And maybe I hope now the way I'm seeing them play, I mean, because I already made my prediction. If I had to redo it right now, I think the Hawks would win tonight, and I think they would go on. But it's still the 76ers. Joel Embiid's still an animal. You know, he's not going to have multiple games in a row where he's going to be like that in the second half and everything. Sure. Or Doc is going to let that happen again when you only had two guys make any kind of points in the second half. Exactly.
Like, what would we say before game 5 is we're like, listen, there's no way in hell Joel Embiid misses 12 shots.
I said that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I definitely said that.
He didn't go 0 for 12, but him and Seth Curry were the only two people to score in the second half. So it's been – I mean, we have to eventually start. I don't want to be the show like every other show is that's saying, wow, the Sixers blew it, instead of saying the Hawks won it. The Hawks have won 3 games in the series.
Oh, they won.
Have they had to come back from double-digit deficits twice to do it and then hold on by the skin of their teeth after being up 26 in game 1 to do it? Sure. Have any of them been like, oh, you felt comfortable with the Hawks winning? No. But have they won 3 games? Hell yeah, they have. I don't want to be on the side of this saying the Philadelphia 76ers have lost 3 games. The Hawks have won 3 games in this series.
Oh, and they really have. And with the freaking leader that they have right now and Trae Young, if he's not getting buckets, he's getting assists. If he's not getting assists, he's getting buckets.
And now look at the other series. You have, like, at the beginning of this, if you said the Hawks were going to beat the Sixers, it would have been in 7, right? Like, that's what everyone thought. You have a chance to end it in 6. Meanwhile, the other side of the Eastern Conference is going to a game 7.
Yeah.
And they are in a war.
You got some rest.
Yeah, they're in a war right now battling each other. The Nets are down 2 superstars, so even if they make it through, they're not coming through clean, right? So, I mean,
and even when Harden is in, last time he was in, he only got 5 points.
Yeah, this is setting up to be like a really, really weird kind of fun playoffs for the Atlanta Hawks, to where it's not just like, we were saying it yesterday, it's like you're playing with house money, but now it's like, they got a shot to be like the Miami Heat from last year?
Oh, don't say it like that.
Where no one had a shot, where they just didn't have a shot at getting it. But then who would they play in the finals?
Dude, if we're looking at a pool right now,
probably Phoenix. If I had to guess, that'd be my pick.
If we're a pool right now, if you want to talk about best teams that are still left,
it's the Nets.
I don't know if the Nets have most of their guys healthy. If it's just KD,
I don't know. That still scares the hell out of me.
I still think the Hawks are the third best, so it'd be the Nets, number one, you know, because I've been riding Nets all year. Suns. And then the Hawks?
I mean, maybe. The way they've been playing.
Yeah, baby.
They're unbelievable. And it's been so much fun to watch. Virgil writing in here says, if the Hawks were able to find a way to make a trade for Bill, they would be legit top contenders. I mean, yeah. I think going into 2021, I think that's fair to say. That's a hell of a backcourt with Trae Young and Bradley Beal. That'd be really interesting, especially if you can keep Bogdanovich and you can keep Gallinari and guys like that. Yeah, that'd be a really interesting. John Collins is going to be something to watch in the offseason, too. I don't know if you'd be able to keep Bradley Beal and John Collins. I think that might be a decision. But, yeah, I mean, I think Cam said this yesterday, Virgil. Trae Young has all of a sudden made Atlanta, I think, a destination spot for a potential top 10 player.
Yeah,
a
baby.
A top 10 free agent, where before you look at it, you're like, yeah, Atlanta's cool, but they're going to blow, and I'm going to be the only guy on a team. Now all of a sudden you have Trae Young, who you can pair up next to. Clint Capella's a great vet. So, I think that's a great point there, Virgil. But going with tonight, you got you're rocking the black MLK uniforms. The fans asked for it. The Hawks are giving it to you. Rocking the black MLK uniforms, which I think very fitting going into Juneteenth coming up this weekend. But, man, talk about a huge, huge night coming up in the city of Atlanta. I'm so excited for this game, Cody. But that being said, wouldn't be shocked at all if the Philadelphia 76ers win this 1-7. But again, we're going to be excited about tonight. It is what it is. We're going to be excited about tonight. Quickly here, though, Charlie Morton, Cody, with the Braves. They get a 4-0 win. He has a no-hitter going into the seventh inning. Braves currently 6.5 games back of the New York Mets going into the rest of the three games in this four-game set against the St. Louis Cardinals. And really, we're getting towards the All-Star break now, man. And you have some vote leaders. Ronald Acuna currently in second place among all Major League, just behind Vladimir Guerrero Jr. In terms of vote getters in Major League Baseball. Ozzie Albies up there as well. So I guess last night, really just a breath of fresh air for the Atlanta Braves, man. You go out, you win 4-0, you take down the Cards, finally get back in the win column after a rough week.
Well, since the bats have been warmed up, even though they have gotten these losses, the bats have been warmed up. The bats are continually to be warmed up. The pitching was good last night, obviously. You didn't give up a plate. So it was nice to see them start, and it looked like they were having fun last night. I was rewatching some stuff this morning of the game. The boys looked like they were having fun. They looked like they were actually having fun last night after getting beat by the Red Sox, because, you know, everybody likes to hit homers, all that stuff. So they were having fun before, but they were just losing. You know what I mean? So the last few games. So whenever you're getting these runs and everything, and your boys are out there throwing heat, throwing smoke.
Charlie Morton finally seems like he's rounding into form a little bit. He's the guy that you really expected to be your ace coming into this season and had struggled up until a few weeks ago, and now it really seems like I said, he's rounding into form.
Three hits, right? It's all he gave up? Three hits?
Yeah, he had a no-hitter going in to the seventh, and then, man, if I see Luke Jackson, I'm buying him a beer.
Yep.
Because he, like, before the year started, if you had to pick one name that was the solid guy in the bullpen for the Atlanta Braves, no one would have picked Luke Jackson.
It's true.
Now that dude is just rock solid for the Braves. He doesn't give up a hit last night.
His little chin hair he's got.
Yep, he doesn't give up a hit in his appearance. And then you have Will Smith. Back-to-back good outings for Will Smith. I know you're ready to give up on him.
It's
back-to-back good outings for Will Smith. So I still think the Braves are a few pieces away from getting back to contention. I was looking at 538.com. They currently have the Braves projected to go 81-81 and miss the playoffs with an 18% chance of making the playoffs. I think I want to wait until after the next week or so, because you have seven games coming up against the New York Mets, including a doubleheader next Friday. So I want to wait until you can go up against the Mets a few times before I'm ready to put out percentages of whether or not they're going to make the playoffs or not. Because, again, 6.5 games back in the NL East. But I think you need another bat, like a legitimate bat in the outfield.
Yeah.
You lose Marcell Ozuna, you lose Christian Pache, and it doesn't look like Pache is coming back up anytime soon because they like what they have in Heredia out there in Almonte. So get another bat in the outfield, get another bullpen arm before the All-Star break, and I think all of a sudden you can start talking about this team as getting back up at the top of the NL East. I want to take a quick break here, though, because we're going to do some gambling. I love, you know me. Just some for fun gambling, right? Mike Greenberg says it every day. Don't spend any money that you can't just throw away and forget about, right? We're gonna do some fun gambling when we come back. We have some over unders to get to from the world of college football. We'll dive into it when we come back right here on Second Down. Stick around, 3 o'clock coming up on 3 and Out. We'll catch up with the Savannah Bananas head man, Tyler Gillum. They're off to a hot start, and really, they're the hottest name in baseball right now. As crazy as it sounds, the Savannah Bananas. front page of ESPN.com. We'll catch up with Tyler Gillum, talk to him about their hot start and the recognition that the club is getting. That's coming up at 3 o'clock. Big show coming up today on 3 and Out, but we'll come back with more right here on Second Down. Second Down on ESPN Radio is presented to you by The Uniform Source. Christian Gokel alongside Cody Queen and Cam Urshery here on ESPN Radio. Guys, it's my favorite time of the year. We got game lines coming out for the first week of college football. Georgia, I think, sitting right now as a 3.5-point underdog to Clemson. I'm taking that money. But courtesy of Caesar Sportsbook by William Hill, right now we have projected win totals, over-unders.
Holy smokes, dude. I got the rundown. Football. This thing is like the Bible. Oh, it's a book, dude. He's got a book in front of me right now.
It's like a trilogy going on. But
Holy smokes!
Well, I put a bunch of relevant ones on there for teams we cover in the area, but I want to start with the local teams here. Georgia, 10.5, and this is just regular season. 10.5. That's for later, Cody. Georgia, they're over-under for the regular season set at 10.5, and I guess the thought there is, they're predicting Georgia to lose to Clemson week one, because if you look at Clemson's over-under for the regular season, it's at 11.5. So the thought there for Georgia is, if you're going to take the under, they lose to Clemson and they lose to somebody else, maybe Florida in the regular season. That's where Georgia's set at right now. I don't know about you guys. I'm hammering the over on Georgia for this one, because once you get past Clemson, pretty smooth sailing until you get to Jacksonville. Jacksonville's always going to be a dogfight. But if you get past Florida, I think Georgia has a very good shot of winning every game outside of that Clemson game. I still think the Clemson game's a coin flip.
I actually have Georgia winning against Clemson.
What I'm saying is, even if you don't win against Clemson, you can still get the over if you win out. And I'm looking at the rest of the schedule, and Georgia's going to be favored in every other game.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, too. Yes. Yeah, even if you do win, I don't see them running into anybody. Florida, you might, but I don't think Florida has it enough yet with Emory Jones and everything, especially with that defense not being as good. So with the Florida and Georgia game, what you're going to do is say the offense is good, because I think obviously Georgia's going to have Florida? For Florida. Okay. So I think both offenses are going to be good. If Georgia is on the same level as them, but who's going to have the best defense? Obviously Georgia. Obviously, Georgia next year, they're going to go in rolling with some dudes. So it's a better two-way team with Georgia.
The way you got to look at Georgia is you have to say, okay, if you're just going to accept the fact that not even that they're going to lose to Clemson or they're going to lose to Florida, just say realistically, not fan brain, realistically, Georgia loses one of those two games, that probability is probably pretty high, right? So you go into that, even if they lose one of those games, they can still hit the over at 10.5. I think that's a good line.
It's going to be a weird game, like they're going to lose against Arkansas.
I'm taking that line at 10.5 for Georgia. I am curious to get y'all's thoughts on this one, though. Right now, Coastal Carolina is sitting at 11 wins in their over-under. Now, let me read off to you the schedule coming up for Coastal Carolina, because I want to go in a different direction with this than just picking the over-under. Their first game is the Citadel, which, you know, it's the Citadel has a history of beating Power 5 teams. It's the triple option. They have some good players. Shout out to the homie Javonte Middleton up at the Citadel. But Coastal Carolina should win that game. Their next game after that, which is their biggest out-of-conference game and their only Power 5 game, Kansas in Conway, South Carolina. So they're hosting Kansas, who I would hear arguments is probably the worst Power 5 team in college football.
I agree.
Right? So you should be favored in that one. Next game's Buffalo. You should win that one. UMass, you should win that one. Then you get Louisiana Monroe into your conference play. Should easily be favored in that one. Arkansas State should easily be favored in that one. Then you have App State. Yep. App State, I think, is the one just up in the air 50-50 game, even though I think Coastal's better than App this year.
And they're playing at home.
No, the App State game, it's in Boone, North Carolina. Yeah. So they're playing at App State at Kid Brewer Stadium.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah, okay, they're playing at Kid Brewer. So that's a great home field advantage. But still, I think Coastal Carolina is a better football team this year. Troy, Georgia Southern, Georgia State, Texas State, South Alabama. That's Coastal Carolina's schedule this year. And I think they'll be heavily favored in all of those games. And bear in mind, these are just for the regular season. So they're giving you a loss in there. So, like, they're giving you that App State game. I'm hammering the over for Coastal Carolina. But I want to ask you guys this. If Coastal Carolina goes undefeated with that schedule and, say, beats Louisiana in the Sun Belt Conference Championship game, in my opinion, they probably get left out of the college football playoff again. And I would probably say deservedly so. Because I think through that regular season, there's a distinct chance they don't play one ranked opponent.
Yep.
I mean, Cam, I'm curious to get your thoughts there.
Dude, yeah, that's a hard schedule.
Yeah, Cam, I'm curious to get your thoughts there. If Coastal Carolina goes through no ranked wins until the Sun Belt Championship game, even if they go undefeated, do they get left out of the Sun Belt champ or out of the college football playoff?
Yeah, of course. It's kind of like with UCF back in the day. I mean, they went undefeated, ran the table, and did what they were supposed to do, but competition still factors. So you could have a two-loss Georgia or a one-loss Georgia, depending on who Georgia loses to. I hope they don't lose, but they'll still get in over Coastal Carolina. There's nothing against them. It's just you have to have a high strength of schedule. That's why we're seeing this 12 playoff format being put in place for the next 2 years because of stuff like this. So you can have a G5 school, and right now, currently, they want to get in.
Well, I think that's where it's going to get interesting, too, is the fact that let's talk about 2023. If they're playing this schedule in 2023, again, we talked about the six highest-ranked conference champs would get in, but if you have, say, an undefeated Ohio State win the Big Ten championship, Clemson wins the ACC, Alabama wins the SEC, right? You have Oklahoma out winning the Big Ten, say USC's better or Oregon's better, all of a sudden – you're looking at five Power Fives that would probably be the top five ranked, and then if UCF or Cincinnati are really good, with this schedule, they would be a higher-ranked conference champion than Coastal Carolina, right? So all of a sudden, Coastal Carolina, even if they won their conference championship, isn't guaranteed a spot. They're still looking at it at large. That's why I think we haven't known it was coming, but athletic directors have known this was coming for a while, because you look at what some of these schools are starting to schedule out in the future in terms of out-of-conference games, and it's heavy hitters after heavy hitters, because they know it's going to be more beneficial to you to play a harder schedule and maybe have a loss or two more than a team that plays a schedule where they don't play any top 25 teams.
So in order for them, this is the scenario I would have to go with if there is a chance for them to get in.
I'm going to say this, Cody, and just before you say this, I'm going to say I don't think there's a chance Coastal Carolina with his schedule makes the college football playoff.
So you got App State on there that are going to be good next year, and the only other team that they're going to play that's good next year, if they are going to be good next year, is Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo went undefeated last year, right?
I think Troy's a good team too, but yeah.
If Buffalo continues to be undefeated all the way up to that game, and say if they smoke Buffalo by, like, I don't know, like 24 points or something like that, that would give them a conversation, because Buffalo actually is not that bad of a team. You know, they were the leader of the MAC last year.
I love you, but you're not going to talk me into Buffalo being a signature win.
I like Buffalo. Ever since my boy Khalil Mack was out there, I like them. They're always a good defensive team. But if they do well, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think, even if they do smoke them by 24, but that's going to be, of course, an argument for all the Coastal Carolina fans. Like, oh, we beat Buffalo. They're undefeated. They're, like, great on the freaking defensive line like they've always been. And they smoke them by 24. Be like, hey, man, the two guys that we've played that are really good, App State, say they're undefeated all the way freaking going up, and then they play Buffalo, and they're undefeated all the way going up, and they smoke them both.
Buffalo, like,
you know what I mean?
It doesn't matter, like, what Buffalo does this year. It's not a signature win.
Okay.
Like, there's no signature win on that schedule for them. I think outside of App State, and if Troy can find a way to be, like, if you're Coastal Carolina, you have to pray and hope that Troy and App State are both undefeated when you play them.
Troy ain't doing
and you and you have to and then you have to beat the hell out of them just to be considered. But think about who you'd be arguing for a spot over, right? You'd be arguing for a spot. We talked about this earlier in the week. Probably over Ohio State, probably over Clemson, probably over Alabama, probably over Oklahoma.
Yeah, nope.
We're all gonna have multiple top 25, probably top 10 games on their schedule, right? And you don't have a single top 25.
So you're just talking about top six.
I'm talking about top four, because that's all that makes it for the next 2 years.
Oh, yeah, for next 2 years. Oh, yeah. No, no. Dang, I forgot. It's going to be 2023.
Yeah. Yeah, we got two more years of the current system, which is, you know,
lame.
Not great, but it is what it is. But I'm telling you, Coastal Carolina at the beginning of the season, this is why it's probably changing. And again, this is by their own doing, right? Coastal Carolina at the beginning of the season, I would say, doesn't have a chance of making the college football.
Oh, no chance. I was going off the 12. I was like, dude, you kidding me? Not going to have any chance? No, they're not making. There's no 0%. There's no way they're getting in. Especially off that schedule. No way.
Yeah. And staying with the Sun Belt and going with another local team, Georgia Southern, their over-under's out 4.5. 4.5, not making a bowl game. The prediction from Las Vegas with the Georgia Southern Eagles. And I'm looking at the schedule, and it is.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
It's difficult because, of course, you got the conference slate. You will play the aforementioned Coastal Carolina. You finish the season at App State. Georgia State, I think, will be better this year.
I agree.
They got a really talented offense and a good defensive line. Start the season with Gardner Webb, which you should win that game, but then you hit the road twice for two pretty tough out-of-conference games where you go to Florida Atlantic, who is a very good football team, and then you go to Arkansas, who is vastly improved under Sam Pittman. So that's a tough start to the season. Oh, and then you kick off your conference schedule with Louisiana, who a lot of people are going to argue is the number two team, top contender to Coastal Carolina in the Sun Belt. Then you have Arkansas State at home. You should, I would think, win that Arkansas State game, but then you hit the road and go to Troy. Like, this is a really tough schedule for Georgia Southern, especially that beginning stretch right there. 4.5, I'm going to say this. I think the Eagles find a way to win six games in there, so I'm going to take the over for them. But this schedule is absolutely brutal for Georgia Southern.
I got them winning four. I don't see anything else. Any of the close games, I don't think they're going to get. So Georgia State's supposed to be a close game. But I agree with you. I think Georgia State's going to be a better team next year. Yeah. I think they're going to win against Troy. I don't think Troy's going to improve. I think they're going to stay last in that group. I don't think Troy's going to get any better. South Alabama, I think they'll win that. Texas State, I think they'll win that. And then I think they'll win Gardner Webb. But I think that's all the four games that they're going to get. Yeah, I do not think they're going to get any more. And it's unfortunate because I love Georgia
State. Yeah, there's not a whole lot of stuff, games on there where you're just like, oh, check, win, check, win, yep. Check, win, check, win. There's not a whole lot of that for Georgia Southern this year. But again, I think some talented guys coming back for them, some transfers for Georgia Southern that'll have a big impact in there as well. Cody, your LSU Tigers, 8.5.
Oh, no.
That's where it's been set at for the LSU Tigers, just running through some of the SEC West stuff. Ole Miss is set at 7.5. Auburn is set at 7. And flipping over quickly to the SEC East, Florida, 9 wins for the Gators, which I think is interesting because – obviously, you didn't have the out-of-conference games, but, I mean, 9 wins more than the Gators got last year with Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts and Kadarius Toney.
I don't know about 9.
A little bit easier schedule than last year, though, right?
Well, I mean, you get
some of the SEC last year.
Yeah, you get some of the cupcake games on their back. But, yeah, I mean, that'd be more wins than they had last year. In the same state, though, UCF under first-year coach Gus Malzahn, 9.5.
Oh, hey.
For the Golden Knights, Cody's other favorite team. And Miami, 9.5 wins.
I don't believe
making
that.
Making them the second contender in the ACC to North Carolina at 10. So there's just some over-unders for you coming up. Projected win totals for college football in 2021. We'll talk about that more coming up on 3 and Out. But I want to take a quick break, get Cam's opinion on Game 6 between the Hawks and the 76ers when we come back right here on Second Down. All right, Cam, I need to know, heads or tails, who's it going to be? Hawks, Sixers tonight. Do the Hawks get it done in 6? Riding high. The Philadelphia 76ers got the back against the wall. All the pressure on them. Do the Hawks get it done tonight? And if so, how?
I wanted to say early this week, I called Hawks in 6.
You did. We have it recorded.
2-2. Yeah. Yeah. So I got the Hawks tonight. They got to just come with the same – well, not the same game plan because, I mean, going
I was
going
to say that you don't want to do the whole listen, we'll go down 16 in the first half and then claw our way back.
I don't think you want to do that. I think they have killed the morale of the 76ers. This is a must win. You don't want to go back game 7, obviously. But do what you did to Ben Simmons. Make Ben Simmons go to the line. Make Doc Rivers have to take out his best perimeter defender, his best ball handler, his best passer out the game because you're sending him to the free throw line, making him shoot missed shots. And then you have to let Embiid get what he wants. But other than that, you can't let Seth Curry get hot. Do what you did against Tobias Harris, great defense. And Trae Young, like I said, he has to go out there and get 30-plus to win, or he has to go out there and do what he did the game before, 25 and 18. But the key thing about Trae Young is he's not turning over the ball. He's keeping the ball on the Hawks' possession. Every possession counts for them. They just have to go in there and play team ball, and I think they're going to get the win tonight. I have the Hawks by five.
Yeah, they got
by five.
At the farm, as Kevin likes to call it, they have standing room only tickets, the only thing left, going for over $300. So State Farm.
I know my boy 2chain is going to be out there. Let's go, baby.
Quavo is definitely going to be out there. So, I mean, State Farm is going to be popping tonight. It's going to be an awesome atmosphere. But I think Cam kind of mentioned it there. We said at the beginning of the series, at least I did, let Joel Embiid go out there and do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
I think if Joel Embiid scores 70 points, that's fine if you can just stop everybody else and just don't take up too much manpower trying to stop Embiid, right? And I love what they did in the second half against Ben Simmons, like Cam said. If he's going to try to drive through the lane where he can finish, I'll say he can finish as good as anybody in the league around the hoop, foul the hell out of him and make him go shoot free throws. And then, like Cam said, if Doc Rivers can't handle that, then he has to take him out of the game, which takes out his best defender from being able to lock up Trae Young. So I thought that was great. And then, again, like Cam said, just lock up everybody else. Don't let Harris get open for three-point looks. Don't let Curry get open for three-point looks. Just play that man defense they've been playing. Let Clint Capella bang. Because, look, Clint Capella is going to win some of those matchups with Joel Embiid, right? It seems like, Cam, throughout the series, Embiid in the first two quarters looks unstoppable, right? Comes out fresh. He's hitting every single shot. But as he's having to run back up and down the court, as you get into the third and especially into the fourth quarter, it just seems like, to me, he runs out of gas.
Yeah, he gets gassed out. And crazy thing is, I looked at it this morning, Ben Simmons, the last two games in the second half, 1 of 2 from the field. That's why Joel Embiid's getting gassed. He's taking all the shots. Your big man shouldn't be taking 20 shots in the second half. Just keep with the game plan. I love what the Hawks are doing. I think Ben Simmons' psyche is out of it. I don't think he's going to come to play well again tonight. He might not even get enough time because they might hack the Simmons. So I'm loving what Hawks have done. I hope they can win this game. This would be the biggest series win in Hawks franchise history, as far as I've been alive. I know that.
And all of a sudden, I was talking to Cody about this in the first segment, Ken. All of a sudden, you're looking at the Nets or the Bucks coming through and having to go to war in a 7-game series. And all of a sudden, if you're the Hawks, you can finish this series tonight and have those extra days of rest before the Eastern Conference Finals, where you would be playing either a banged-up Milwaukee or a banged-up Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to say it.
You don't want to get too far out front. All right, I get it.
I want them to win. I want them to win tonight. But if there's any year for the Atlanta Hawks to go to the finals, it's this year. If Brooklyn sneaks past Milwaukee and it's just Kevin Durant and James Harden is hobbled, if you watch the games, he's not even moving, no explosiveness. The Hawks could just take Kevin Durant. Vice versa with the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm not impressed with them. You stop Giannis, build a wall, which the Hawks got a lot of depth and size to do that. They have a chance. I'm not going to get too ahead of myself, but the Hawks in the finals would be – that would be really cool. It would be really cool.
Again, that coming up 7:30 tonight. Huge game at State Farm Arena. Maybe the biggest game in the history of State Farm Arena. I know because it used to be Phillips Arena. Same building, but we'll say in the history of State Farm. Because, Cam, you keep saying all like the biggest game in Hawks history. I still remember those Zaza Pachulia – Paul Pierce games, where those games were lit as hell. So I mean, I'm not gonna let you just run over the history like that of the Joe Johnsons and the Josh Smiths and the Al Horfords. Those are some good teams, man.
I was at those games and got disappointed when we got swept by Orlando, lost to Orlando in 7. We had no chance in those games. The Hawks have chances. They have a chance in this game. The Zaza game. I mean, days with against Boston. We're going to lose against Boston. Boston won in 08. That was the year we played them at home and went 7. But this year, they have a chance. They have a real chance to beat the 76ers.
Just one of those names that makes you smile from history. Zaza Pachulia.
It's true.
Just brings back
sounds like fun. Some type of like Italian treat or something.
No,
like
just,
that.
It just brings back fond memories of like so high delicious. School watching the Hawks and the Celtics. Those were good times there. But again, that game coming up tonight at 7:30. Also have the second game of a 4-game set for the Braves and the Cardinals coming up tonight. I do want to take a quick break though. Father's Day coming up this weekend. We'll come back, ask Cody some questions about being a dad. Let Cam tell some fun stories about his father as well. And we'll just say a big thank you to all the dads out there, because we appreciate what you fellas do in your New Balances, cutting grass and cooking mean burgers. We'll come back, talk about it next right here on Second Down. Father's Day coming up this weekend. Just a friendly reminder to all the folks out there, specifically the sons who haven't bought anything yet. Cam, I don't know if he's listening, but have you gotten – you don't have to say what it is, but have you picked up your Father's Day present yet?
He's not the guy that likes gifts.
Oh,
that's me. Yep.
A rookie mistake.
That's me, dude.
No. I'm honest. I've tried to buy him shoes. He's not a guy that likes gifts, but I think I know what I can get him. I know he's listening, but he's not a man of surprises. So food, can't go wrong with that. Probably buy him some food, spend a little time with him, watch the game, you know. But yeah, he just doesn't like gifts.
All right, well, just a friendly reminder, we're going to get some stories here in a second, but also a really important anniversary today, guys. 17 years ago today, Dodgeball was released in theaters. And Dodgeball, to me, has to be like one of the top 10 movies when it comes to movies I quote. I know I annoy the hell out of Cody because like half of my vocabulary is Batman quotes. Yeah, it's Batman quotes. I'm sorry.
Where is it?
I can't help it. Like, yeah, if anybody ever says swear,
swear to me.
I can't help it. It happens. I think Talladega Nights is certainly up there as well. But just in terms of all time sports comedies, I mean, Dodgeball's gotta be up there. That's iconic.
Oh, it's definitely one of my favorites. We're talking about movies that we like cried in our sports. I forgot about that. You know what I mean? It's emotional at the end. You know, 4-1 comeback, dude. Come on, dude.
Peter, I love you.
That's perseverance right there, dude. Beautiful, beautiful movie.
No, I mean, Ben Stiller.
Did I say that right?
Ben Stiller.
Perseverance. There you go.
Nailed it. Nailed it. No, Ben Stiller in that movie is unbelievable. Vince Vaughn's great as just the straight guy, but like Ben Stiller in that movie, just like full into character, unbelievable as White Goodman. But I mean, I think some of the all-time greats you have to put out there, and I was catching some flack for saying this one, The Longest Yard, right? I get that it's not it's not like the Adam Sandler Longest Yard, but the original one with Burt Reynolds, not old Burt Reynolds, young Burt Reynolds, I still think it was a comedy, and like Kevin's in there like, that is serious cinema. I'm like, come on, man. It's a sports comedy. But that one, The Bad News Bears, Major League, there's been a lot of great sports comedies
Hot
throughout
the years. Like, best both worlds, dudes.
It's been throughout the years. I mean, so I think an underrated one is Goon.
Yeah, Goon's a good one. The Longest Yard, you didn't like the newer one?
Oh, no, I'm not saying I don't like the newer one. I think the newer one's fine. I think it's like, I think the thing that makes the newer one so good, and the reason like maybe we have a little bit of nostalgia for it, is because literally they were like, all right, instead of writing, why don't we just get as many cool people as we can find?
Well, I liked it because I remember whenever me and you used to coach Little League, and every time some kid dropped a ball, I'd say the same thing home was that. I just say popcorn. Yeah, I can't.
Knew it shouldn't have that popcorn.
I just say popcorn. Can't do it.
But no, I mean, it's just like that Longest Yard, they were just like, hey, let's just find the most famous people we can find.
Yeah.
And we'll have them come in and play. I mean, it's like, I was like, I mean, I think that's fine. Oh man, The Replacements catches a lot of flack. Cam, how many of these movies that we're talking about have you seen? Because I know different generation here.
Probably about a couple.
I'm gonna start ripping them off. Have you seen The Replacements?
Nope.
Have you not seen The Replacements?
Have you seen Major League?
Nope.
All right.
Guys, don't kill me.
This is a conversation between me and Kristen.
Yeah, we're just going to go to commercial forever.
Put me on. Instead of killing me, put me on. I'm trying to get there.
It hurts my heart that you haven't seen this. Have you seen the original Longest Yard?
No.
I don't know for a fact. Yeah, I'm seeing
Have
that,
you
yeah.
seen the Adam Sandler Longest Yard?
No.
This is unfortunate. This is an unfortunate day in history. What is today? The 18th of June. Okay, we remember this day forever.
We have to mark it down. Like, literally, when you get down here, Cam, we're just gonna have a day where it's like your only assignment is gonna be sitting in a room watching sports comedies.
Which we have a TV out here.
That's it. And like that's gonna be your job for the day. I may have a book report too.
There you go.
I don't know that you have to do for each
beautiful.
Yeah, for each of the movies.
But you're saying most quotable movies? Do you think Dodgeball is one of the most quotable movies?
Mine
personally, you already know Tombstone is number one.
No, but I'm not talking about like movies in general. I'm talking about like sports comedies.
Johnny Loves Chachi. Yeah, dude.
Ouchtown, Population U, bro. I mean, the one, like, I think
it's maybe, a bold move, Cotton.
I think, yeah, I was about to say, I think maybe the most used one ever from any of the sports movies is that's a bold strategy, Cotton.
Yeah, there you go.
Like,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
There's so Jason Bateman was awesome in that movie.
Oh, yeah, he was.
But I think, like, there's so many great quotes from it. But I think Talladega Nights is right up there. I mean, Slingshot Engaged and all that's right up there.
Is your house haunted?
In terms of quotability. I'm trying to like think back to like the early 2000s and like 90s because there was a lot of like really good, like straight to TV sports comedies back then as well. But I mean, The Replacements is unbelievable. The Replacements catches a lot of flack. A lot of people hate The Replacements.
Dude, I love Varsity Blues. Varsity Blues is puking rally. God dang, I love that dog. He goes, pretty sure that's a pig. He goes, yeah. Dude, I love that movie. I love Varsity Blues.
There's a lot of good ones out there. But again, just to make everyone feel old, 17 years ago today, Dodgeball released in theaters. Also this weekend, as we said, Father's Day coming up. Cam, I need to know, when was the maddest your father was ever after something you did?
The maddest? Oh, getting a speeding ticket. Yeah. When he told me not to get one, and I told him, stop hassling me about it, and then an hour later I got a speeding ticket, a super speeder at that. Yeah, he went off.
So like, hold on, let me recap. So your dad told you to slow down, you said get off my back, and then an hour later you got a speeding ticket.
Yeah, so basically I was heading down to Savannah. He told me, don't get a speeding ticket today, Cameron, because I've already gotten one before. And then I told him, like, leave me alone, like, I'm not gonna get one. And then literally an hour later I'm calling him.
I'd kill you. Dude, you know? As a dad, I was about to ask. I'd be so mad.
Colton is like, Dad, get off my back. I'm fine.
Yeah. An
hour later, hey, Dad.
Hey.
I know I'm on your insurance, so there might be something you're seeing a little bit later.
Yeah, you're dead. Dead. Super speeder. You said super speeder, right?
Yeah, super speeder.
Yeah, that's not funny. Damn. That's not even a funny joke. They even come home and tell me that. Like, no, sir. Yep.
All right.
You're going to die young. Yeah. And
at
crazy.
What age did your dad stop dominating you in sports, or has he? Does he still dominate you?
Oh, I hope he listens to this. He's never dominated me in those sports.
So you were 3 years old dominating your dad in basketball?
I mean, I didn't start playing basketball until I was about 9 or 10. But, I mean, we played baseball, but more like pitching in the yard. I guess you could say football, yeah, but basketball, never.
I used to play one-on-one with my dad all the time in our front, in our driveway. And he always told me, he's like, by the time you're able to beat me, you won't want to. And let me tell you, by the time I was able to beat him, I wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
I was like 15, 16 when I could finally, like, just like, because all he did, he wasn't good at basketball. All he did was just use his height and weight advantage on me and just back me down in the paint and just hit layups.
I'm physically better than
but
you.
Once those ankles and knees started creaking a little bit and I was coming to my own a little bit and I could actually hit a jump shot and hit some layups, it was on. And he was wrong because I still wanted to beat him.
My boy's starting to creep up on me now with that basketball game. I'm not very good at basketball.
Do you get nervous now that he's going to beat you and then just like start getting really physical?
Yeah, he has better handling skills. He may not be stronger than me, but he's got way better handles than I do. And I still beat him because I just rushed to the tanks.
I'm around you a lot with your kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you are a very patient, very calm dad.
I am, yes.
But I want to know, what is the most like infuriated you have ever been with your children?
Oh, man. Most infuriating, you know, it's not too many. Here we go. Sports-ish. I have a water spigot in the front of my house. And there was a basketball pole used to be in front of my house. Now it's in my driveway. Colton and his friend were kicking footballs towards the freaking
hoop. Trying to
the
do
hoop.
Dude,
missed the
stuff.
Hoop. Nailed the spigot. Water goes, whoosh, starts flooding out in front of my house. Floods underneath my daughter's freaking room and everything like that. So I had to go in there, fix it. I had to cap it off. That's probably the most infuriating I've ever been with my son. He was close to death. I was super mad at him. But besides that, my kids are very good kids. Actually, the other day, because we're trying to sell the house, Gracie was supposed to clean her room, and I went in there, and it looked like some hobos were living in it. So I got pretty mad about that. But besides that, you know, they're really good kids.
You know, the kids where it's like, Gracie, why's your doors always closed? Privacy. It's not because I never clean my room. But just, again, a friendly reminder coming up Sunday, Father's Day. Get out there. Buy Dad something nice. Like Cam said, even if your dad says he doesn't want a present, he wants a present.
Chicken wings, at least.
I was about to say
minimum.
Food usually.
Minimum. There you go.
Food is usually a very good choice for dad. If you take dad out and you buy his lunch or you buy his dinner and then you leave him alone, he's happy.
Not only that, you ask him, Dad, will you grill us some good ribeyes? Dude, he'll do it in a heartbeat.
If you bring the ribeyes, it's over.
Yeah.
Big Show coming up on 3 and Out. Savannah Bananas headman Tyler Gillum going to join us next year on ESPN Radio.